Blog Talk Radio.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
God in the Midst, Get 'Em Radio presents Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. Colossians 2, verse 3 says, "In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." The Word of God is a gold mine. If you enjoy mining for gold nuggets in the Word of God, this broadcast is for you. The Lord has gifted Dr. Lorraine Nabarro to uncover hidden treasures in the Bible that will delight you as he reveals a different perspective of his word. So get your pick and shovel, turn your mining hat light on, and let's dig into the Word of God.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
Hello, and welcome to God in the Midst Radio. My name is Dr. Lorraine Nabarro, and this is Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. Today, we'll be looking at the first of the Jehovah titles. Let's open with a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that there's so much for us to learn, to see, to hold on to. We thank you that you open our eyes, open our ears, open our hearts, that we may see you, hear you, understand you more clearly, that we may be more like you day by day. Thank you for your help today as we look into your scriptures, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, praise the Lord, we've been doing a series on what's in a name. And I know this won't come as a shock to many of you, but actually, you know, I'm known for my long introductions. Well, the truth is the first three episodes of this series truly have just been the introduction to come to this place. What had been on my heart was to teach the 10 Jehovah titles. I'll explain what that means in a moment. But before that, I thought we really needed to understand the place of names in the scriptures, all names, and how we relate to names and how names relate to us and to those we love and to the Lord and to His Son. But also, after that, we need to understand what names God has revealed Himself by. And we've talked a lot about this. I'm going to reiterate just a little bit. Remember that we've talked that names expand as our relationship expands. When we start Genesis 1:1, we see Elohim. God created. Elohim shows Him as the Creator. And then it goes on to talk about His creation. So when we talk about Elohim, we are talking about God as the Creator in relationship to His creation or His creatures, as it were. Okay, then we know we go on a little farther. We've talked about various other ones that were important to know, so you don't just think it's those two. We've talked about El, Elyon, Eloah. We talked about Shaddai, Adon, Adonai, etc. But we did focus a lot on Elohim and, of course, on Jehovah. In Genesis, and it's somewhere about 21, this is interesting. I don't know that we ever actually looked at this, but this is where we see, we know there are various scriptures where God Himself refers to Himself in covenant relationship with His people as Jehovah. And that we spent some time on that. And I know that's something we know, but to see that this was God's choice, It's not his only name. People who think Jehovah, that's God's name. Everything else was, you know, no, there's lots of it. That's the same as we've talked about. All of us have various names. And depending on, you know, where you are and who you are, they change, don't they? And I'll get back to that. But we've talked about it. They also, the use of names indicates a relationship. Maybe tired of hearing it, but it works. When I was little, my mother, I just called her Mommy. That's all I knew her as. So that's what I called her. Amen. But as I grew older, as I've said, she was my own first grade teacher. When I was in class, I couldn't call her Mommy. I called her Mrs. Miller, like all the others. I saw her in a new aspect. I had a new relationship with her. In this relationship, she was my teacher, so I called her that. And so it goes on. All of us know people. You know, you may, at work, you know somebody that you call in a certain way. But then in person, or when you're in private, maybe you have a nickname for them. Or like, for example, if you work in a healthcare situation, you may call somebody, you know, Dr. Jones, because that's who Dr. Jones is. But you have a private relationship and it's like, hey, Shirley, how are you doing? Shirley Jones is the name. Doctor is the title. And you use that title in relationship to what is going on, the aspect of what's going on. For example, I may in a church setting use the title of pastor because I am a pastor, have been a pastor. I can use reverend because I've been ordained. When we come to this program, I say Dr. Lorraine Naborow because we're kind of calling on some of that more like academic knowledge. It's still spiritual, but I'm not pastoring you, right? So anyway, so you see, we can have more than one title. We can have more than one name. But we only are one person, but that name that's used indicates what relationship we have with the person calling that name. So we know that from the beginning, God was the creator, Elohim, and his creation responded to Elohim, right? There are ones to whom he is not Jehovah, the fish on the sea. Remember the great fish that swallowed Jonah responded because Elohim, God was his creator. The birds of the air brought food to Elijah. Why? Because he was their creator. He wasn't their Jehovah, but he was their creator. Amen. But now then we see as he began to have more relationship, that name Jehovah comes into play. And literally, Jehovah means that he is the eternal, the immutable one. You know, the one who was and is to come. He is the immutable one. The first place we see that, I think, actually, we didn't read it last time, so I'll read it this time, is in Genesis. We read several other scriptures about the name Jehovah. But in Genesis chapter 21, this is where we have the whole situation with Abraham and Ishmael and Sarah and Hagar and the whole thing. But we come down to, or am I in the right place here? Let me look here. Yeah, 21. Let's come clear on down. God opened the eyes of her. She saw the well, and he dwelt in the wilderness. Okay, so it came to pass at that time, Abimelech, down in 22, they called the chief captain of his host, spake unto Abraham, saying, God is with thee in all thou doest. Okay. Now therefore swear unto me by that God that you will not deal falsely with me. Oh, where am I? Nor with thy son. Okay. Yep. Let's turn the page. So Abraham took, he's making this earthly covenant, this agreement with these two kings or these two leaders. And so he, verse 28, he set the seven ewes in the flock. Abraham, Abimelech said to Abraham, "What you mean, these seven ewes, lambs?" Verse 30, he said, "These seven ewes, lambs, they shall take of my hand, and they shall be a witness unto me that I have dug this well." Well, we know that, and they ended up taking it, and Isaac had to bring it back. But anyway, they called the place Beersheba because they swear, both of them. That was the place of the covenant they made between them. Abimelech rose up, verse 33. So Abraham planted a grove in Beersheba and called on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. That's Jehovah, the Lord, the everlasting God. And Abraham sojourned in the Philistines' land. That is the first place Abraham calls him Jehovah. We see various other scriptures have reference to that. But combined with this Jehovah are 10 titles. And there are 10 of them. Like I said, you may know some of them. We're going to take them, and we're going to take them in order. Because it's one thing to know the title. It's something else when you investigate where it comes from, then it can be far more meaningful. What is the significance of that? All right, so we have Jehovah, and the very first one happens really pretty quickly, and you will know it. And we know that these words are not pronounced like this, but it becomes what we do conveniently. So the very first one we see is Jehovah Jireh. And you've all used that, I know. Jehovah Jireh. So we're going to look at the story, where this coupling of Jireh with Jehovah comes into play and what it reveals. See, it will reveal something about him. So we're right there in Genesis 22. We'll go on, and we know the story that Abraham, the Lord called on Abraham to take his son up to Isaac, who was not a little baby boy. He was basically a grown man, a young man. He could have quite easily run away from his dad, who's 100 years old, if he had wanted to. This shows that Isaac was willing to be this sacrifice. This becomes important. This is not some little infant that he's going to sacrifice, which is kind of the image you get. We know that he was at least a young man, all right? This becomes important because, remember, this is the imagery of Jesus at Calvary, that as Abraham was willing to sacrifice his son, this became the type, the picture of God being willing to sacrifice his son. What? For our salvation. Amen? So this is, there's a whole lot goes on here, and Abraham was willing to do it. Isaac was willing to go along with it. The same way as Jesus wasn't forced to Calvary. God asked him, he said, "Okay, this is what I'll do." Remember when he's in the garden and he prays and he says, not thy will be done. In other words, I'd rather not do this, yet if you ask me, that becomes what I want to do. All right. So here they are. They're on their way up there. Now, Abraham knows what God's asked him to do. Isaac knows something's up because he even says to him, "Okay, look, we got the wood, we got the fire, but oops, where's the lamb?" Okay, and you know this one well. Abraham said, "My son, God will provide him." So let's back up a little bit to verse about 4. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes, saw the place afar off. Abraham said to his young men, "You stay here." So that was a 3-day journey. They had a lot to talk about, didn't they? "The lad will go up yonder and worship and come again to you." So he was in faith believing that his son would come back. Amen. He took the Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon his son. See that same image of Jesus carrying a cross, you know? He laid the wood of the sacrifice on his son. He took the fire in his hand and a knife. Told you the year of the knife, didn't I? We could sometimes talk about those four elements. The wood, the fire, and the knife. That's one I'll do one of these days. I think we'll do that. The wood, the knife, and the fire. That'll be a good one. All right. So they went together, and Isaac spoke unto Abraham, his father, said, "My father," and he said, "Here am I, my son." He said, "Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Verse 8, and Abraham said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering." So that actually, see, we're reading it in English, but in Hebrew it is, "My God," remember we talked that, you know, "My God," that's Jehovah. "Jehovah will provide," that's Jireh. So that they come together, they came to the place where God had told them of, and Abraham did what? He built an altar. Ooh, that's a powerful phrase. Sometimes just go through the scriptures and see every place somebody built an altar. And that's what Calvary, see, from this point on, we have that. Calvary was not just a place of shame, it was an altar. He was going, the Romans thought he was going, and the Jews thought he was going to disgrace, but he was going to an altar. Praise the Lord. Laid the wood in order, bound Isaac his son, laid him on the altar upon the wood. Abraham stretched forth his hand, took the knife to slay his son, and the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." He said, "Here I am." And he said, "Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son only." And that's the reason I'm emphasizing, I'll come clear in a moment. Abraham lifted up his eyes, looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by the horns. And Abraham went, took the ram, and offered him for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Verse 14, and Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. We so many times translate, "The Lord will provide." But it's not "the Lord will provide," it's "the Lord will see." Okay, the Lord will see. And here's the beautiful thing. If the Lord sees you, then he will provide for you. Amen. We don't have to beg the Lord to provide. If the Lord sees my suffering, the Lord will provide my deliverance. If the Lord sees my shortage, if the Lord sees what I'm lacking or what distress I'm in, the Lord will provide. There's something comforting just knowing that if the Lord sees it, the Lord will provide for it. Amen? So this is where Abraham, see, even before they got to that, even before they got to the place of the sacrifice, Abraham had already said, "The Lord in that mountain, the Lord will see." Amen. He said, "Lay not your hand, knowing that thou fearest God, seeing you have not withheld your son." What is it that he saw? It wasn't that he saw Isaac on the fire or on the wood, but he saw the heart of Abraham. He saw the heart of Isaac. The father and the son were both in agreement. They didn't understand how this was going to come out, but they were in agreement. If this is what they had to do, they would do it. This, again, if any two of you shall agree touching anything, God in heaven, Jesus on earth, both agreed that if it was the cross of Calvary, then that's what it would be. And because then God saw, he saw what? The heart of Abraham and the heart of Isaac. He provided a substitution. Amen. God sees our heart. God understands us. God knows even when we were lost in sin, dead spiritually to Him, He sees our heart, and He provided a substitute to pay for my sins. And that was upon a mountaintop that others may look at as being a place of disgrace, but to me, I know that it was an altar, a sacred place to the Lord. So that's the first of the 10 titles. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will see. The covenant God sees, and when He sees, He provides. Amen? This is interesting. This is the order they come in. Okay, we're going to move on, or we won't get through even two of them. Let's go on. Sorry, I have a little tickle. To Exodus chapter 15. So as we remember what was going on in Genesis, it's good for us to look at what's going on here in Exodus. Exodus, the children of Israel have come out of Egypt. The children of Israel have crossed the Red Sea. The children of Israel are following Moses. This is one of those, I know I've preached this maybe, a blue million times, and hopefully taught it on here sometime. This is one of my very, 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 very favorite places. So there's a lot of excitement when they get to the other side. And then what happens? The Lord leads them by Moses 3 days, again, those 3 days, into the wilderness. Let's see where we can pick up. Verse 22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. They did not miss the direction. Sometimes when things look like, Luke in air quotes, they're going wrong, we start to say, where did I miss it? Where did I not hear? They were led by God, by Moses, into the wilderness. Sometimes He leads us where we don't have any idea why we're there. One of my favorite verses out of Isaiah is, He leads the blind in a way they know not. We sometimes don't understand why we're being led the way we are. This was not the devil leading them into the wilderness, the same as when Jesus was led of the Spirit into the wilderness, wasn't He? Wasn't the devil. Now, after He did His fasting, the devil spoke to Him, but it was not the devil who led Him out there. Amen. This was the Lord led them 3 days into the wilderness, and they found no water. That's the end of verse 22. Verse 23, and when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. The word Marah means bitter. Bitter. Remember when Naomi says, don't call me Naomi any longer, because that means pleasant. Call me Mara, which means bitter. And Lord knows, I don't know about you, but I've been led to some places where it seemed the only waters I could drink were bitter waters. Amen. They could not drink the waters, for they were bitter. Now remember, the Lord's led them there, okay? And they could not drink the waters of Mara, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it is called Mara. Ta-da. Verse 24, and the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? That's the first place. We know that this is kind of part of their issue, isn't it? They just continued to murmur and murmur and murmur. This is the first place. And so even before their murmuring goes on, the answer to their murmur is set in place. Remember, they still got, 40 years of murmuring. But watch what goes on. At the very first sign of it, God gave them the answer. Ooh. Okay, they murmured against Moses, saying, what should we drink? He cried unto the Lord. The Lord showed him a tree. Again, see, all these Jehovah titles, don't they show you that imagery, that foreshadowing of Jesus and the sacrifice of Calvary and our redemption? Showed him a tree, and he took that tree, he cast it into the waters, and the waters were made sweet. Praise the Lord. It was something added to our life. You couldn't take the bitterness out. There are too many people who try to take the negative things out of their life. I can't help it if maybe you had abuse as a child. I can't help it if maybe you've lost your abuse. I can't help those things that have happened. But we don't need to eradicate those. God knows how to take the tree of Calvary, add it to our lives, and make that which was bitter sweet. Sometimes we need to take things away. We need to not do certain things. But sometimes we just need to add something to it that makes it sweet. I won't talk a lot here on bitterness because it's a whole teaching I do. I think there's too many of God's people are bitter and they don't know why and they don't know what to do about it. We'll move on though. Okay, so it was made sweet. He made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. To prove them isn't meaning a test. He gave them the type. It's like God gives you the answer before you get the test. Okay, guys, this 40 years, you're going to have plenty of opportunities to murmur. Here's what you do. You don't murmur. That which made bitter will be made sweet. And he showed them the pattern. Don't murmur. Trust me. Look to me. Okay? So here we are. And he made for them a statute and an ordinance. And he said, if you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes. Ooh, ooh, ooh. See, he's already telling them more than just how you turn bitter water sweet. This is a moment, okay? This is a moment. The same way it was a moment up on the mountaintop when God showed Abraham, look. I see what you're going through, and I will provide an answer. I'll provide a substitute. He looked around, and there was the ram caught in the bushes. That was a moment. And at that moment, Abraham saw him as, oh, you're Jehovah Jireh. Okay? The same thing now. They have come out of Egypt. They've come across the Red Sea. They're now entering the wilderness before they can enter the promised land. And the very first thing that happens, you know, have you ever seen those, like, whatever troubles you're beginning is going to be what dog you till you get through it. The very beginning, he told them, okay, here's what you do. If you will do these things, listen to my voice, do what is right, give ear to my commandments, and keep my statutes. That's all he's asking. I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I brought upon the Egyptians. They are coming from a place where they saw the might, the terror, the power of God, as it were, by the 10 plagues. And remember, if they didn't abide, the plagues fell on them as well. But as long as they abide under his covering, it didn't happen to them. Now, what happens, and we've often, I know you've heard this said, that they came out of Egypt, but Egypt didn't actually always come out of them. So God was already trying to change their understanding. I'm not a God of plagues. To you, I'm covenant. Jehovah, I'm covenant. What? If you will do all these things, none of these diseases will come upon you. And here is, for I am, what? The Lord that healeth thee. That's what it says in English. Okay? In Hebrew, it is Jehovah Rophecha. I am the Lord that healeth thee. This is the second Jehovah title. They had a moment. He is Jehovah Rophecha. He is the Lord that heals me. Not just of the plagues, but he healed the waters. He healed the reason for their murmuring. If you will just follow me and trust me, follow 3 days in the wilderness, then we have murmur and da-da-da-da. If you will understand the pattern of this proving, of this test, you've got the answer to the test before the next 40 years happen. Follow me, listen to me, call on me, and all these things that you remember as happening will not fall upon you. Why? because I am Jehovah Rapha, I am the Lord that heals thee. And then immediately, look what happens in 27. They came to Elim, which there were 12 wells of water, 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters. They were that close to that many wells of water. But God first wanted to show them, look, when you are tempted to be disappointed, don't think of me as that mean plague God. I love you. I'm Jehovah. I'm in relationship with you. And not only do I see, as he said with Abraham, but I'm the Lord that heals. Heals your waters, yes, but heals your heart. Heals your soul. Again, the same way God saw Abraham and Isaac's heart, he has seen the children of Israel's heart. I will heal you. I am Jehovah Rapha. And immediately they left those bitter waters, which were turned sweet, and immediately camped by a place where there were 12 wells of water and a whole grove of these palm trees, so that they had a beautiful place, you know, beautiful campground, as it were. Amen. So, okay, I don't know. That's only two, and I was hoping to get through four. But maybe I ought to just cut it off there. We may just do this for a long time. But I know Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, I'm the Lord that sees, I'm the Lord that provides, and I'm the Lord that heals. But see, he showed himself as the healer, and then he said to them, I am your healer. And if we just read that in English, we don't always get it. It's like we're describing ourselves, or he's describing himself. But it's more than that. It's a title, you know. It's a title. Various places have, I have no idea about this because it's not anything I know about, but like the Masonics and those people, they have various titles like the Exalted One or the this and that, or the Exuberant One, that isn't it. But, you know, that they have titles, the Excellency and da-da-da-da and so on. And other places do. It's who they are, but it's also this description. It's more than a description. It's part of that relationship. So you don't call on, you know, you know when you need to call on Jehovah Jireh. This is something he says of himself. I am the Lord that sees, that provides. The same one we call on the Lord that heals thee. I am Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord that heals thee. What? Heals your heart, yes. Heals your circumstance, the waters, yes. But heals your, if I can say it like this, your memory. Maybe you've had a long history of a negative things in your life. Before he can even heal your body, he's got to deal with how you've seen. Maybe you've always been very, very distrustful of authority. Well, you aren't going to be useful in a church if you're always thinking everybody's out to get you. You know, you got to learn about family where they're nice to each other. So he's got to heal your memories, okay? And then I'm not talking any weird, you know, spiritual thing, but heal your memories, heal the way you think, heal the way you look at things. It's easy to heal the waters. Is it easier to do that than heal the perception? And again, what is part of that? That imagery. So you will see this coming over and over again, that not only is he talking about their present circumstance, but he's giving that prophetic view, that always that promise of what is to come, that there will come that day. And we're going to get to those too. Because we have some where he actually announces it, and then where some where he looks actually even prophetically for us, for that which has not all occurred yet. So it's really going to be exciting. I'm sorry, I'm only getting to two. This is part one. It looks at this rate will be part five before we get through them all. Maybe I'll get faster as we go along. But I want you to see that these 10 Jehovah titles, they come from a context. And in that context, God reveals himself in a different attitude than he did before. Amen? You may have a friend that's close to you, and you just think they're good at this or they're good at that, and then you get broken down on the roadside, and you thought, oh, I never knew you knew how to change a tire, or I never knew you knew how to, you know, fix something. It's a revelation of something who they are and now who they are to you. He has been our Lord. He has been our covenant God. But now we see he's also the Lord who provides. We see he's also the Lord who heals. So as we progress through, and remember we're taking these in order in the Hebrew canon, so one right after the other, and we will continue next time. Sorry, I didn't get farther. Apologize. But I want you to see how beautiful these stories unfold. This is who he is. Amen. If you've ever had a good friend or a romantic relationship, they may start out calling you something formal. But then when you kind of get close, that intimacy where you have a name, like, you know, you have a little sweet special name that you use for them, it doesn't come out right away. But as it unfolds, it's becomes a part of who they are to you. God is unfolding who he is. He started out as our creator, but then he became he revealed himself to Abraham as the immutable one. Amen. The all in all, he is the immutable one. But he's the immutable one that what? That sees and provides. Wow. And then more than just sees and provides, he's the immutable one that what? Heals. See, in Genesis, everything was at the beginning, but Exodus is a coming out, isn't it? It's leaving behind a lot of junk. And that's what we are. We have an exodus. We have a place where we come out of. And in that place, we need some healing. And that's where he reveals himself. He led them into the wilderness so they could taste the bitter waters. And he said, now watch this. I can make it sweet. And he showed Moses the tree to put in. And as soon as they got that boing moment, he led them to 12 wells of water and a sweet place to camp with palm trees. God is revealing himself by these titles. And I just want to take them in order, all 10, so that you can see this for yourself out of the scriptures, what God is showing us about himself. My prayer for you is that this be a great week of revelation, of understanding, of a closer relationship with the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for our time together today. Thank you for continuing to help us see you more clearly. I ask that every single one of us enjoy that knowledge that you see. And when you see our predicament, you provide. I also thank you, God, that we know in our hearts that you are our healer of everything that we may need healing for, even from the things that we don't know about. Thank you that you are Jehovah Jireh, that you are Jehovah Rapha, in Jesus' name. God bless. Looking forward to being with you next week.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for him alone I live.
Thank you for joining God in the Midst, Get 'Em Radio's Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. Enjoy the entire family of Get 'Em Radio broadcasts by calling 516-418-5699. That's 516-418-5699. Now, mark your calendars and set your cell phone alarms. Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures, is aired every Monday at lunchtime, 12 noon Central, 1 p.m. Eastern. Prophetic Healing with the Healing Community is on the second Wednesday of every month, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern. And the Thursday edition of God in the Midst,
airs every Thursday at 9 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. Eastern. Once again, you can listen to all these broadcasts as they air by calling 516-418-5699. When you have an opportunity, Google Get 'Em Radio. That's GITM Radio. And listen to this broadcast in its entirety, as well as all of Get 'Em Radio's on-demand podcast. As you listen to our podcast, click the follow button, and you will get a reminder via email of all our upcoming episodes. You may contact us at getemradio@gmail.com or call us at area code 314-325-9986. We'd love to hear from you. Also, meet us on Facebook at God in the Mist and like us because we like you too. Have a blessed rest of the day.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him.